a woman comes home and says to her husband, "Honey, I'm sorry, I got some water in the carburetor." And the husband said, "That's okay, honey, where's the car?" She said, "At the bottom of the lake." Well, that would be an example of using language to minimize. But in today's gospel, the Lord uses language to maximize. He uses hyperbole. He says some very shocking things that are hard to understand. For example, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." What does he mean by that? How do we interpret that? Another difficult saying, "Any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple." Again, how do we understand and interpret these very strong and challenging passages that the Lord gives us? Again, you have to understand the whole context of what the Lord is talking about and his use of hyperbole, which is to make a point and to drive home his message. Let's take a look at the context. Well, it's St. Luke chapter 14. This is right before the Lord's death. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to the cross, on his way to die on the cross. And it says, "Great crowds were traveling behind him and following him, thousands of people." And among these crowds, of course, were some authentic disciples. Some were curiosity seekers. Some were just there to because it was the thing to do. And so the Lord, it says, turns around and addresses this huge crowd. What he's trying to do, it seems, is to sort of separate the men from the boys. He's trying to let people know of the cost of discipleship. And that would really, if you had to summarize today's gospel in one sentence, that would be it. The cost of discipleship. The Lord wanted to make sure that among all this great crowd, that people realized what they were getting into when they would follow Christ. Because he himself was on his way to his death on Calvary. So he turns to them and he says these very difficult words, these very challenging words, which of course we have to see how the church has always interpreted this. "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." See, this would be, we have to clarify this because it could give brothers and sisters reason to hate each other, which we don't want to give them any reason. We have to understand what the Lord is saying. He's referring here that we have to love him above all things, is basically what he's saying. That we have to love him above even any earthly tie, any earthly relationship, in fact, even our own life. And isn't that what the martyrs did? The martyrs loved Jesus above even their own life. Many of the martyrs were burned at the stake or beheaded or crucified. And they were willing to love Jesus even above their own life. And others, of course, have had to love Jesus even above earthly relationships. Many of the young men or women that go to the, let's say, the women that go to the Poor Clares or the Carmelites or the men that go to the Carthusians or the Trappists, they really, in a sense, sever themselves from family ties in order to follow Jesus completely. And that is a big sacrifice. But they're willing to show their love to Jesus even above earthly relationships. Now, of course, when he refers to the word hate, obviously we're not called to hate anyone, our brothers or sisters or parents or spouse or children. Because obviously Jesus says elsewhere, "Love one another as I have loved you." He tells us that all the time. He even says, "Love your enemies." And he even says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." So obviously there has to be self-love as well as love of one's neighbor. And so what I guess the way to interpret this would be that there is a hierarchy of love. That first we have to love God above all things. And then, of course, love our parents, spouse, children, and even our own life. But, of course, it has to come in proper order, loving Jesus first above all things. And then the second, there's actually three challenging statements. The second is, "Any one of you who does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Again, that's a very strong words for the people in those days, because the only ones that would be carrying their crosses were people being led to their execution. When Jesus says you have to be willing to take up your cross, that meant you had to be willing to die for him. And many Christians did, of course. And when Jesus was on his way pretty soon to carry his own cross, to be condemned between two criminals, Jesus carried his cross, and he says, unless you're willing to carry your own cross and come after me, you cannot be my disciple. Willingness to lay down your life for Jesus Christ. Now, of course, in our day and age, our crosses are not wooden beams that we carry on our shoulders. Our crosses come in many different shapes and sizes. Some people have physical crosses, which could be illness, something like cancer or arthritis or osteoporosis, or things that people are dealing with. Other times, a person's cross could be financial, maybe the loss of a job, difficult financial situations. Other people's crosses in this day and age could be emotional, losing a loved one, losing a spouse, losing a member of the family. That's an emotional cross to carry. Others have relationship crosses with difficult marriages or difficult family situations. And as one holy priest once said, most of our crosses have personal names. And because most of our crosses tend to be other people. It could be your neighbor, it could be your boss, it could be your coworker, it could be your employee. Many of our crosses are other people, sometimes even within one's own family. That person could be the cross that you're asked to carry, to persevere in accepting the cross and uniting it to Jesus and carrying your cross with love. And so that's what the Lord says. Be willing every day to take up your cross and follow him. And lastly, the third and most difficult passage in today's gospel is, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. What does he mean by that? Of course, many of the saints did renounce all their possessions. For example, St. Francis of Assisi. He was very wealthy. His father was a wealthy merchant, and he could have inherited everything, but he gave up everything to follow Christ. He renounced all his possessions and embraced a life of poverty, chastity, and obedience. St. Clare did the same thing. Today, Mother Teresa is canonized. She's now declared a saint. What a beautiful example of someone who gave up everything, who gave up all her possessions to follow Christ and to be available for the poorest of the poor, to pick people out of the gutters in Calcutta. So she's an example of someone who renounced all her possessions in following Christ. So what about for those who live in the world? How does that affect them? Well, of course, we don't renounce our possessions. You still have a house, you still have a car, you still have, you know, resources. And that's important to have good stewardship in that way. But the church would interpret this for us to be, instead of renouncing them, to be detached from them, to be willing to give them to those who are in need. For example, to be generous to the poor, to tithe, to give the 10% to the poor, to the needy. That's what it means to be detached from our possessions. You've not made religious vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, so you still have your possessions. But the key is to possess those possessions and not be possessed by those possessions, to make sure that we're detached enough that we don't make material things the purpose of our life, but make getting to heaven, becoming the saint that God wants you to be, that is the goal. And that material things are good and they're blessings, and we can help others and share with the needy and with the poor. So that's how we would understand the Lord saying, yes, to be his disciple, we need to be unattached to material things so we can be more attached to Almighty God. So those are the three main points the Lord gives us in today's gospel. The gospel is all about the cost of discipleship. And he reminds us that first, of course, comes the Lord, above love for family, above love for even one's own life, above love for possessions, that we love Jesus above all things, and that every day we take up our crosses each day and follow Jesus.